Why does God allow so much suffering in the world? And is He doing anything about it? Hey, this is Cherie at Bible Project. In this episode, Tim is helping us understand how the Bible speaks about suffering. What's God doing about all this pain? And how can we join Him? Following Tim's message, Michelle will read from 2 Kings. And stay tuned, because after the Bible reading, we'll have a chance to reflect and pray together. Listen in.
If you're reading your way through the long and complicated story of Israel in the Old Testament, you reach a definitive moment at the end of the book of 2 Kings. Over 1,000 years have passed since God called Abraham out of Babylon to go to the land of Canaan, where he and his family were supposed to be a vehicle of God's blessing to the nations. And so when that family ends up in Egypt as slaves, God raises up Moses and then Joshua to bring them out of slavery and into the promised land. And the story of Israel in the land, from the biblical author's perspective, was an almost total failure. There are a few bright spots, but for the most part, it's just centuries of idolatry and injustice and violence. And so by the time you reach the end of the book of 2 Kings, God allows the armies of Babylon to come and conquer and burn Jerusalem and its temple to the ground. Israel's kings, its priests and leaders are taken captive, many of them are executed, and the city is left in ruins as they're hauled off to Babylon. Just try to imagine standing there in Jerusalem, watching this destruction and all of the death. And many Israelites were asking, how is this happening? Why? Where is the God who saved us from Egypt back in the day? Why doesn't God do something like that again right now? The ruin of Jerusalem and the exile to Babylon raised deep questions about why God allowed and still does seem to allow such tragic evil in our world. And it also raises the question of what is God doing about it all? And it turns out that the biblical story that runs from Genesis through to 2 Kings is actually a long, complicated response to that very question. It's a story about a God who loves to share both life and existence, but also power and responsibility with his creatures. And so when humans are appointed as the image of God to rule creation on God's behalf, it's a real partnership, which means that there are real consequences at stake. And humans in the story, then, are glorious creatures who have this immense potential, but they are also often stupid, short-sighted, selfish, and violent. And so those failures create consequences that are very real and very deadly. And so whether we're talking about the exile of humanity from the Garden of Eden or the exile of Israel from Jerusalem, we're actually wrestling with the same difficult truth, that God takes us and our choices seriously. God treats humans like they really are the image of God. It's actually terrifying if you think about it. So for generations, God's royal descendants neglected their loyalty to the God of the Exodus. They became intoxicated with wealth and national security and power politics, just like all the other nations. And so when Israel reached that point of no return, God handed them over to the consequences of their decisions. So yes, God has a will and a purpose and a desire for our world and for Israel, but God's will isn't the only show in town in the Bible. There's also the will of God's partners, whose decisions God takes seriously. And that results in much of the train wreck that we call human history. So what is God doing about all of this? Well, let's look again at the end of the book of 2 Kings and notice that it actually doesn't end with the story of Jerusalem's destruction. There's a short story that zooms forward 37 years into the exile, and we meet a figure named Jehoiakim. He's the surviving descendant of David's royal line. And we're told that the king of Babylon all of a sudden favors him. He, quote, lifts up his head out of the prison house. And then he sets David's heir on a throne above all of these other subject kings. And so the seed of David is elevated, he gets brand new clothes, and he gets to eat from the royal table for the rest of his life. And that's how the book of 2 Kings ends. So you have to sit back and ask, what's happening here? Why does the story end this way? Well, remember, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, God promised that a future descendant would overcome evil and undo the human tragedy at its source. And so following that lineage, that's part of what's been driving the whole plot line. And so this lineage ran from Adam to Abraham to Judah to David and now to Jehoiakim. And this is really cool. Actually, every line of this little scene with Jehoiakim, it's hyperlinked to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was also exiled in prison because of the unfaithfulness of the sons of Israel. His head was also lifted up by a king who gave him new clothes and authority over all others, and there was lots of food in a time of great hardship. This is all on purpose. The author of Kings is portraying Jehoiakim as a new Joseph who is being protected by God until the period of exile and suffering reaches its climax with the arrival of a new Moses and a new Joshua, just like it did back in Genesis and Exodus. And so it's no coincidence that the Gospel of Matthew is the only one of the Gospels to mention Jehoiakim as the ancestor of Jesus. And then it introduces John the Baptist, who's a Moses-like prophet in the wilderness, pointing the people to his successor, a guy named Joshua, or at least in Hebrew, that's the name that gets translated into Aramaic as Yeshua, and then into Greek as Jesus, and then into English as Jesus. And Jesus is the one bringing the exile of Israel and the exile of all humanity to its end. And so the Bible actually doesn't offer a short, clean answer to these questions about why God allows suffering. What it does is tell us a story of what God has been doing about that suffering. God's been at work through history to raise up a deliverer through the lineage of Abraham and David that leads to Jesus. And it's his life and death and resurrection that has opened up a new future for our suffering world. And so while our questions about suffering are really important, it turns out that through the biblical story, God actually has a question to ask us. Will we be part of the solution that he's pioneered through Jesus? Will we imitate the self-giving love of Jesus and participate in his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven? And at least for me, that's the question I need to be asking myself this week, and I'm guessing you do too. May God give us the courage and wisdom that we need to know how to follow him faithfully in the week that lay ahead.
Second Kings 25:8-12 and 25:27-30. On the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard and official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army under the commander of the imperial guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile the people who remained in the city, along with the rest of the populace and those who had deserted to the king of Babylon. But the commander left behind some of the poorest people of the land to work the vineyards and fields. In the 37th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the year Awil-Marduk became king of Babylon, he released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He did this on the 27th day of the 12th month. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat of honor higher than those of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put aside his prison clothes and for the rest of his life ate regularly at the king's table. Day by day, the king gave Jehoiakim a regular allowance as long as he lived. 2 Kings 25:8-12 and 25:27-30.
Let's review. The Bible doesn't answer all our questions about why God allows suffering.
but it does tell us a story of what God is doing about it. We learn that God has chosen to partner with humans to deliver communities from suffering, and that he even chose to enter our pain by becoming human himself. Jesus took up the worst of human suffering, shoved it into a grave, and rose again to give us a new future, one that's free of injustice and suffering. Yes, we still have questions, and those questions are important. God hears us and understands our pain. But today, let's tune into the question God has for us. As we face suffering in the world, will we partner with him to be a part of his solution? Let's reflect on this. I have three questions for us to consider today. Listen closely and feel free to pause if you'd like more time. Here's our first question. What is one way your community is suffering right now? And now our second question. Consider God's character of justice, mercy, and love. How does he want to comfort and restore your community? And now our last question. What is one step you can take this week to join God's plan of restoration? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. Now in closing, let's pray together. God, you are comforter, redeemer, and deliverer. You understand our suffering. You fully entered it to show us the way to a new life. Thank you. We bring all of our suffering to you right now. Our families, everything that hurts in our work environments, the places that are broken in our churches, our neighborhoods, our cities, we bring it all to you right now. And we ask that you'd inspire our courage and give us creativity to partner with you. Help us carry out your real solutions to relieve and redeem the pain all around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that there's a video and study guide that goes with each podcast episode? Check it out at BibleProject.com/study. All right, today's message was by Dr. Tim Mackey. Our show production was by Dan Gummel. Our scripture reading by Michelle Jones. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Sheree Hayes, your host. Reflections is more than a podcast. It's a community of friends who are reflecting on the Bible all throughout the week. Friends like JoJo.
Hi, I'm JoJo, and I'm a college student from Starkville, Mississippi. I listen to the Reflections podcast in the mornings while I make coffee and prepare for class.
Thanks, JoJo. I love that we get to join you for coffee in the morning before class. I'm so glad you're a part of the Reflections community. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit located in Portland, Oregon. We provide free resources so we can all experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. It's free because of the generosity of people like you from all around the world. Thank you.